What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp, the final Ross. Backstage report, we're doing it live. Man, so last week I didn't get to do a live Q&A. We did it on the Discord. We're always doing that on the Discord. So if you aren't linked up to that, go ahead and do it. Download the Discord app. Use the email that you have associated with your Patreon. Connect it via Patreon. There's hundreds of us over there. Thousands of us, actually, I think now. I'm always doing that stuff. So let's talk about the week's news. I'll answer some questions. Lots of stuff here and there. Michael Hayes produced the Cody Rhodes Rock promo. He also produced the main event last night. I feel like that's important information. We have all the producer information there over on Fightful Select. But, man, so many WrestleMania week news. CJ Perry, Brittany Brooks, Ricky Starks, Dustin Rhodes, J-Rod, Allie Catch, Jimmy Lloyd, Rina Yamashita were all in attendance at WrestleMania. Snoop Dogg's announced attendance was not accurate. He cleverly inserted a 420 in there. Julia was wearing a performer credential at WrestleMania. We'll have more on that in a bit from Corey Brennan. The Stephanie McMahon promo was kept very quiet internally and was actually listed as a Triple H promo on the run sheets. She was welcomed backstage by many and has long had a positive reputation within the company. But as of now, she is not back. PW Insider had reported that, and we confirmed as much today. Heavy praise all around for the camera work. They said coordination was maximum level. We're going to have more on that. But there was an army of set crew, pyro, lighting, very little to no mishaps that we heard of. Triple H gave a heartfelt speech after Raw to thank all of the crews as well. Not everyone backstage or in production knew about the surprises in the main event, but the main producers did. There were several within the company that knew heavy interference was planned, though. As if you couldn't tell, rules on commentary, restrictions of what can and can't be said, scaled back significantly. Corey Brennan reported that at the start of the signature roll, Triple H said, "Everyone have fucking fun more than anything." Now, there wasn't much of a reaction to I Show Speed swearing, but many popped at the costume's bottle lid flying off. I've been told they are extremely happy with the traction that his appearance got. And then it sort of alleviated any heat that would have been there for him dropping F-bombs or whatever that may be. Cody Rhodes didn't wear his entrance helmet during rehearsals, but he did mime it. Triple H was out there for the floor or on the floor for rehearsals through most of the day. Bobby Lashley, Street Profits, they're called the Pride by a lot of people, but they aren't internally listed as that. Lots of questions about the person who got kicked out of the presser by Roman Reigns. We haven't been able to identify a media member that actually got kicked out. Now, what happens is WWE offers on-location video packages, or not video packages, ticket packages. And the inclusion is that you get to attend the presser. I don't think anybody actually got kicked out, though. Natalya was in attendance at Stardom this week. CM Punk, Nia Jax, Piper Niven, Caden Carter, Karrion Kross, Tegan Nox, Natalya, Sonya, and Lana, CJ Perry were all at Bloodsport supporting Shayna Baszler. As seen on social media, Nick Khan also showed up backstage. We're told that he and Josh Barnett have a nice relationship as well. Gabe Sapolsky was at events this week scouting out talent for WWE. There were other WWE talent that were contacted about possibly doing Bloodsport as well. Mike Pero helped put the GCW clusterfuck together. He actually did that back when I was in it as well. There were still some inquiries about possible additions to the clusterfuck this weekend. In fact, I saw Brett Lauderdale. I told him I was going to see Muhammad Hassan on Saturday. And he goes, see if he wants to do the clusterfuck. And I asked Hassan, and he was like, I can't do that. He's like, my body's made out of glass right now. I'd destroy myself if I took a bump. And then I looked at him, and I was like, I think you underestimate yourself, friend. Deonna Purrazzo was in attendance at this week's Monster Factory show that I worked to support Steve Macklin. Not me, but Steve Macklin. Go figure. Some friend you are. But he was main eventing the show. Corey Brennan is told The Rock had extensive rehearsals for night one of the show as well. Fightful spoke to Tiffany Stratton, Finn Balor, Damian Priest, Tommaso Ciampa, Ivar, Vic Joseph, and Natalya this weekend. Man, there's just so much going on there. Corey had NXT producers. He asked me, he goes, would that be a value? And I'm like, yeah, it's always a value. Of course, anything exclusive that we can get is of value Ryan says, I'd love to see Natty in Bloodsport. Good for you. I asked her about that in our interview. So that will be up on Fightful eventually. This is live, right? Yep. A rare live Backstage Report podcast. I know a lot of you are new. So here's the way that some of our shows work. I do the Backstage Report every Monday. I have a lot of people that just subscribe, and then once a week, they'll check out the Fightful Wrestling Weekly or the Backstage Report, which is a bit of a recap, and they catch up on a lot of the things that we've reported. Then I do the Q&A every week. We've got the list goes on, Sour Graps. I had somebody, some weirdo on the Sour Graps comments that goes, yeah, why don't you do a Sour Graps AEW show? Well, we do. It's called Alex is on every AEW Dynamite post-show review. And guess what? He's been reviewing Rampage and Collision for a very long time as well. So anybody that says that does not pay attention to what goes up there. But hopefully you guys paid attention to the tons of scoops that we had this week. And if not, I got you covered. Jacob Fatu. Corey Brennan found out that he was telling people that he was signed with WWE. Now, at least some of his former coworkers are of the belief that he may be teaming with Tama Tonga, running back a team of their father's as well. I asked people within WWE, they wouldn't confirm the news, but I have talked to people that said that he told them that he was signing as well. So good job, Corey Brennan there. Jacob Fatu would be a big signing. WWE passed on him several times due to criminal history, but seems like he is walking the straight and narrow now. Matt Hardy is a free agent. His contract expired at midnight after WrestleMania. They had talks. He said that he had a contract offered, but did not end up signing it. As of now, he is no longer with AEW. Interested to see what he does. I think they did like six figures at WrestleCon this past weekend. This year's WrestleMania. The first with truly no Vince McMahon influence. People in the company were excited. He'd forced his way back into the company last year. He'd started to affect things, making changes to creative. I remember in February, I reported last February, 2023, that Vince had forced his way back into creative, and people said that we were fear-mongering and all this bullshit, man. It's just a fact. Just a fact. Talent were of the belief that that happened, and It did happen, and unfortunately, he had a direct influence on WrestleMania. He changed at least one finish. Then he had a big, big influence on Raw after Mania, and then would call in changes regularly. This year, Vince had zero influence over WrestleMania, either by himself or proxy. Numerous higher-ups in WWE have stated that they believe there's no incentive to further any creative preferences or agendas that McMahon has. They also believe McMahon is far more concerned about very real issues facing him regarding the Janelle Grant incident and lawsuit. An aura of excitement is how one top talent told us that they felt this week. They reiterated that they don't put the disgusting acts that McMahon is alleged of perpetrating in the rear view, but that the cloud of him possibly forcing his way back in to fuck up everyone's good time, as they said, is no longer there. Now, beyond his influence no longer being felt within WWE, we're told that McMahon wasn't expected to pop up at the show, and he didn't. That being said, there were several sources that said that sometimes McMahon appearances haven't really been wanted in the past anyway, but there was a lot of eye-rolling at McMahon's personal trainer posting an Instagram post shaming those who turned his back on him. They said, like, man, how many people has he turned his back on? How many people has he done that to? And now people have an absolutely wonderful reason a solid reason, I would say, to kick him to the curb. Raw after Mania was another point of excitement for several we spoke to in WWE, as this year that was also unimpeded, and last year it was not. He showed up, he ate up the script, shit it out, all that stuff. But woof, man. And I asked one higher up in WWE about him possibly being at Mania, and somebody said, well, there's still a few tickets on StubHub. Damn. Forbidden Door is in NYC. Do you know where it will be? So Andrew Zarian on the first episode of Beyond the Bell revealed that it is no longer planned for Arthur Ashe. Fightful Select reported that it was because New Japan does not want to split the production costs of that very, very expensive venue. Some new era news here. They really hammered home this fact during Mania 40 and last night. Those we spoke to say it's a direct reference to the fact that not only is Vince McMahon gone from the company due to his allegations of sex trafficking, harassment, and sexual assault, but there is no pathway for him to return. The company really wants to separate themselves in that sense, and don't worry, we're circling back to that. But we had reported that that optimism existed around WWE and all that, but his standards and rules are out the window as well. Abu of WrestlePurist said that someone he spoke to in WWE told him that the promotion is deliberately moving away from the terminology of sports entertainment. Now, we've heard similar, and somebody said, well, I thought they had to do that for athletic commissions. Well, maybe back in the day they needed to. Nowadays, it's not really needed, except for, you know, some of those antiquated athletic commissions that are just very, very weird. Now, I was told pro wrestling is no longer a dirty word. There are very few dirty words anymore, and the dirty words that do exist, people just seem to say, even though we got memos telling us not to. However, one of the dirty words is Vince McMahon, who is not to be referenced by name or on TV or programming, not to be featured in archive footage at all if possible. We're told there's a concentrated effort by WWE to disassociate with him. WWE has no plans to disassociate with Stephanie, however. She reappeared on screen, and I asked if there was any hesitation to utilize her after being named corporate officer number 3 in Janelle Grant's lawsuit. Those we spoke to said that they personally not heard of how Stephanie addressed the allegations that she knew of Vince engaging in inappropriate sexual conduct. However, one source said that the situation had to be a complicated one for Stephanie, and they personally believe that her appearance was her firmly picking a side publicly. TKO sources said that they are supporting Stephanie McMahon in this situation. We've not been told that she's back in any full-time capacity, though she'd be welcomed. Sources backstage say that Bruce Pritchard and Triple H were not expecting to be called out to the ring. That's something that Vince would have been vehemently against if he was in charge. In regards to concerns that those that believe that Bruce Pritchard had acted on behalf of Vince McMahon or Nick Khan having knowledge of the sexual misconduct included in the lawsuit, we were able to get somewhat of an answer. One longtime talent said that they expressed their concern about people with knowledge or aiding Vince still being with the company. They were told, and I quote, "Nobody is indispensable as it relates to this." That was the claim. Now listen, a lot of people that say, why would you report that knowing it's not true? I don't get to decide if it's not true. That is a direct quote from somebody in the company in a position of power who claimed that. It's up to them to sort of follow through on it and make it happen and all that stuff. But, oh, look, Corey's in the chat, so I can finally give him a mod wrench. But that is one of those things where that's on them to follow up on that. That's on them to make good on that. But one of the reasons that that top talent was told that was because Mark Carano, Kevin Dunn, Vince McMahon, Johnny Ace, all people. Now, granted, as based on what we know, different situations here, but all very integral names. I mean, even the top PR name all left over the last few years. And WWE has thrived and excelled. So, I mean, it's a thing where at least WWE TKO claim that nobody is indispensable. And one producer told us the most successful periods of WWE were babyface periods where fans were passionate about talent and they were rewarded. And this weekend felt like that. So there's just an awful lot of optimism surrounding WWE internally right now. Somebody says, do you think TKO would fire Triple H if he knew? I don't know, but I'm just saying that's on them. And listen, I understand people say taking the side against him now doesn't clear her guilt if she covered up SA. I agree. This ain't my statements, ain't my feelings. I don't get to insert opinions into objective news reports. CM Punk spoke with Ariel Helwani for a bombshell interview, spoke about his WWE return, AEW departure, and much more. In relation to the Jack Perry Punk story, we're told by those in AEW that the issue wasn't as much that Punk didn't want the glass to be used, but instead that Punk had recounted the story to media and talent to the point to where the disagreement went public after he had similar grievances in the past and said that he didn't want stuff like that leaked. We're told that his recounting of the original disagreement, however, was accurate. Several members of the AEW roster posted tweets of support of the company during the interview. When we reached out to one talent, they said that it was more about supporting the company than taking a shot at Punk or anything like that. One supporter of Punk's in AEW said that the interview was bound to happen, and they personally hope it's the last they hear of it until hopefully one day fences are mended. That's not happening. Because AEW revealed on Collision, they're going to roll the footage backstage of All In. You can have your opinion on it, whatever it may be. It is a ratings ploy. That's what it is. For good or for bad. I don't have a problem with them doing it. They got the footage. They want their truth to be out there, whatever that may be. Fightful Select reported, it is not a bait and switch. Talent and staff that immediately inquired were told that the plan was to legitimately air the footage. Regarding the questions of legalities, it's not an issue. AEW cleared it. It's worth noting the Young Bucks are involved in a tag tournament that FTR are still active in, and they're going to face each other at Dynasty. They're still close with CM Punk, RFTR. We asked one talent on the roster specifically, and they said, I'd be surprised if FTR weren't given a heads up. Can't say for certain they were. But if I know Tony the way I think I do, they would have at least been given a fair warning it was coming because he respects them a lot. Those in AEW we've spoken to say that they're of the belief that the video was enough for the company to make a clean split without much of an issue or a legal battle. The footage hasn't been made available internally to anybody that we've spoken with as of now. Now, WWE talent we spoke to were all over the place. They said that they figured Punk would answer AEW questions before long, even though there's an NDA in place. And another talent said that they preferred it actually to be that week in hopes that most people just forgot about it and moved on to wrestling by the time the weekend rolls around. However, no longer the case. There's some elements of a non-disparagement that those close to Punk confirmed was in place regarding the AEW departure. So we'll sort of have to wait to see how that plays out. All we've heard thus far in WWE has been so far so good with Punk. Those we've spoken to on the exec side didn't believe that Punk really wanted to broach the subject last week, but knew that it was likely going to come up. They said that Punk isn't likely to be subjected to a heavy media schedule either last week or this week, like some others in the company, as he was still recovering from his injury and just honestly didn't want to do much media along the way. So, and probably rightfully so, considering the fact of how all this unfolded. Now, during the interview, he confirmed several Fightful Selects reports. And listen, yeah, hell yeah, I'll pat myself on the back for that. Being backstage at Raw last year before being instructed to leave, he confirmed Fightful's report that nobody in WWE was aware of his return before the day of, saying that only his lawyers, Triple H, AJ Lee, Nick Khan knew. He said that our report of approaching AEW legal and management was confirmed. He also confirmed that at the time of the Punk references on Raw, he had not been contacted. Perhaps most importantly, he confirmed that he went to Nando's after fighting Jack Perry. Easily the biggest story that we had there was that. So yeah, lots of stuff there in that interview. My God. What else do we got? Have you heard any specifics of what is exactly in the footage? No. Thought Fightful didn't know anything about Punk. Man, I saw one guy saying that he nixed my Punk sources. Brother, what are you talking about? My good God, man. I think we talked to one person. Get out of here. How happy are you for Priest getting a new contract? I'm ecstatic for him. I know him a little bit personally through doing media and stuff. Wonderful guy. I have been a fan of his work for years and years and years. I specifically remember, I'm gonna check and see when that match was, when I was like, this guy is a main roster star. And it wasn't in NXT. It was okay, I'll tell you when it was. It was over 6 years ago when he faced Marty Scurll at ROH 16th anniversary. And they had a 10-minute sprint that was just a blast to watch. Just a blast to watch. We're going to have more on that contract. Probably tomorrow. I'd say it's most topical then. And we've just been flooding you guys with news. Between me and Corey and now Zarian. Damn, bro. We're building a super team. I love it. Give me some days off. That's what I need in my life. Julia. So, Corey Brennan had reported that she would be featured on Stand and Deliver. She would appear in the crowd, all that stuff. Corey Brennan has learned that Julia has agreed to join WWE officially. We'll finish out her remaining dates, which will include some time in Rossi's upcoming promotion. Julia's negotiations were a case of WWE offering more money than other companies and the like. Now, we were told that Julia did not seek an agent during this process, and that was confusing to some. That was very, very confusing there. That led many to believe that she had already made up her mind as to where she's going to go and all that. So I guess we'll see. I guess we'll see. Why I'm so befuddled by that. Most agents in wrestling, especially right now, is a thing where like they're going to get you a lot more money than you're going to get for yourself. So I don't know if Rossi acted on her behalf, but that would make an awful lot of sense if she was like, if she wasn't talking to any other ones, you know what I mean? And most international talent really, really want to. Where the hell are we on this document? Oh yeah, he also reported that William Regal had a big part in this as well. Roxanne Perez, Corey had reported that it would be a matter of time before she appeared on main roster TV. Guess what? She did. Hot diggity damn. He also reported that there were a lot of people that were pushing for her to win the NXT Women's title. Guess what? She did. It's good news. Corey Brennan on fire. Mercedes is All Elite. And we have some additional details on how that went going. How that got going. She got a new theme, which she produced herself. One of the reasons we were told was because not only was the theme almost note for note crisscross jump, but crisscross's jump itself had other samples and many clearances would have to be required. They were also happy, AEW, that the CEO nickname was hammered home in the entrance. Naomi, Tamina, and Bayley did attend the event. That wasn't a secret. We're told that AEW talent visited with them, and AEW assured everyone they wouldn't be filmed if they were just there to support Mercedes. To follow up, New Japan's still working with Mercedes. We were told that they had significant plans and hopes for Monet as of last month. She was originally planned to win the New Japan Strong title last year. However, it caused them to call an audible with that injury, and New Japan sources said that they were happy to knew how to do that on the fly. Usually, they don't even want audibles when there are injuries, but that one would have been a really, really confusing one. It would have been a really, really complicated one for them. To add some detail on original pitches for Mercedes' debut, the Jacksonville Homecoming Dynamite was also briefly considered. I think they were going to call it maybe Historic Homecoming, but she wasn't cleared by that point. She also has her own locker room as a part of the deal. She was not, however, factored into the WrestleMania 40 plans, even though, you know, Bayley needing backup was fairly common sense. However, the original plan was Charlotte Flair. She was going to be the backup for Bayley in a lot of those situations. However, the injury happened. One source we spoke to in WWE said that if Mercedes had signed with WWE, that certainly would have changed things, but that she was never factored into those plans. Jason Kelsey was factored into plans. He went to the Monster Factory and trained last Wednesday, along with Danny Cage, And he documented his journey to WrestleMania XL. I think WWE wanted him to hit up the Performance Center, but he was like, you know, I'll stay in Philly type of thing. He helped out Rey Mysterio, and the reason for this is he was partying in a Rey Mysterio mask after the Super Bowl a couple months ago. I was told by people at the Monster Factory that Kelsey and Lane Johnson both took to wrestling very quickly, were very respectful of everyone in the industry in general. And that ended up working out really, really well for them, man. Like, really, really well. So, hell yeah. NXT Stand and Deliver notes from Corey. There was a big focus going into the show on everyone hitting their allotted time marks. There was concern for the opening match that Bron Breakker had his bell rung, but it was clear that he was fine. Triple H was backstage at the show, didn't influence creative. It was a Shawn Michaels show. A lot of big reactions backstage for the North American Championship Triple Threat match. Ridge Holland expected to be on NXT TV this week to explain why he attacked Joe Gacy. Corey had the exclusive on that, just being an angle with his stepping away. Metaphor got universal praise for their hosting gig. And the Women's North American Championship has been in plan since late last year, with the tournament expected over the next few weeks to crown the first champion. Man, we had an awful lot of news today, too, like between the Julia stuff, between Raw after Mania stuff, like just man, incredible news, incredible amounts of news. Obviously, Rock and the Cody thing went really, really long. We had mentioned Jade Chelsea was originally scheduled after the Elia match, and it was moved back and all that stuff. But we got full producer lists, all that. We had mentioned that the sets, whenever tickets dictate that they make the move to having scaled back sets, it's going to be used. And I think that's a great thing. What else do we got here? Fightful Select reported yesterday that Seth Rollins wasn't on the Raw rundown as he was taking time off. He is expected to be factored into the WWE draft. However, man, I'm cooked, guys. I'm cooked. I'm going to answer a few questions here while I can. I don't have any info on the Rossi stuff as of yet. Sheamus contract, new or extended. It doesn't have to be either one. They could have just added injury time. Could have. I don't know for sure. I'm going to find out because he was supposed to be up early this year. Well, then if he has missed since the Edge match with injury, September, October, November, December, January, and half of August, well, my God, man, that would put him through the fall. So yeah, man. Plenty of stuff there. You don't have to ask questions multiple times, friends, just so you know. Like our friend Crazy101, he asked that a few times. We're good. Anything on Camille? No, I'm going to ask her. I'm going to ask her what's up with that. Going to see what we got. Crazy past few weeks, how have you been? I'm tired. I'm sleepy. But if I have any work to do, I feel like I got to go ahead and do it. One of the most stacked backstage reports in recent memory. It certainly is, Corey. It's fucking loaded, man. Is Punk cleared? To some degree, although maybe this line of thinking has changed with the new era to where they're like, okay, well, stuff within your level of comfortability. He had said outright he was hoping to be back much sooner than previously. But I mean, like two and a half months? Damn, bro. Drew's promos after the footage comes out are going to be unreal. Yeah. Any talent reaction to Mark Henry's comments on Kyrie saying, yeah, they thought it was overblown. It was universal support for Kyrie Sane from those that I spoke to. Some were hitting me up like, what is this about? And I had to look it up because listen, all due respect, I don't watch that show. Oh, man. It's just a little bit unusual there. Finn news. Not yet. Working on it. I would expect them to get a lot of deals done right before they expire. That's what I think is going to happen. Oh, man. Guys, that's it. I'm tapping out. And then I'm back tomorrow. The hump, the list goes on, post AEW show. Can't miss that, right? Jesus Christ, what are they doing? Oh, well, it'll be hilarious at least. It'll be hilarious at least. Until next time, my friends, we're out.